City Hall, your name and number?
Good morning, sir. And what is your name, sir?
Maurice Lamont Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. Who's doing Mr. Johnson?
I believe it's me.
Okay, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be chairing your hearing in just a moment. She needs to get a little paperwork together because she just left the element. So just hang on.
Mr. Johnson, can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Maurice Lamont Johnson, appeal number 087113.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the one alleged violation on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on September 27th. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. And that form listed your hearing rights, and one of your hearing rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. If you look all the way on the video screen, all the way down the far end of the bench from me is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chairman for your hearing today. Also with us in the room is Mr. Oliveri, and you can see Mr. Oliveri there on the screen now. He is representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer today.
Okay.
So before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Oliveri in. Mr. Johnson and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Johnson?
I do.
Mr. Oliveri?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and phase two, to be determined if your supervision should be continued or revoked. So, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to read information from your warrant, and as I read this allegation to you, I need you to respond for me whether it's true or false. And the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So here's phase one of your hearing, and the one allegation is that you have violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse, into criminal ways or company by violating Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior by threatening to physically assault offender Washington, number 272289, on or about September 14th, 2017, at 4225 West Glendale Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85051. Mr. Johnson, is that true or false?
False.
That's false? Okay. Then we will take some testimony from Mr. Oliveri about that allegation. And Mr. Oliveri, please.
Allegation number one, on September 14th of 2017, SPO Rich received a call from Beaver staff Ryan Sturgeon stating Johnson Maurice 087113 had threatened another client at Beaver and physically assaulted that person as well. On September 15th of 2017, SPO Rich received a report for both B-Ray and Building Blocks Counseling, which indicated the following. Offender Johnson stated to Allison McDonald, Clinical Director at Building Block Counseling, that he was going to physically assault Offender Washman, number 272289. Offender Johnson reported that Offender Washman had rubbed up against him sexually, and he was attempting to file a grievance about the behavior. Staff tried to calm Offender Johnson, but despite attempts to de-escalate the situation, Offender Johnson exited the office and physically confronted offender Washman to an unknown degree. The physical scuffle was overheard by staff. Follow-up number one, on September 15th of 2017, the offender called SPO Rich at 1:40 p.m. and was directed to report to the parole office immediately. When questioned regarding the incident at Beaver, the offender stated offender Washington got in his way in the hallway and he, quote, moved him out of the way, quote.
So, Mr. Johnson, what's not true about that allegation?
What's not true is I did not ever threaten Bobby Washington. That was in an enclosed setting where I was reporting a freedom allegation. That was the third time Mr. Washington went out of his way to touch me, so I had brought it to Allison McDonald, and the wording that I used, maybe I shouldn't have used it the way I did, but that was to her. She was my direct therapist at that point. So I was reporting to my therapist a previous situation where Bobby Washington had went out of his way to one, stalk me, then two, put his hands on me in a way that I did not like. It had nothing to do with rubbing against me in the wrong way. The only reason I came up out of her office was because I had left my phone in the office where I was waiting for her. So I was waiting for her in community kitchen because I was doing an interview that day. I left my phone there, and when I went to her office, I realized I didn't have my phone. When I came up out of the office, it was to go get my phone. And exactly when I came up out of the office, Bobby Washman came all the way from the back, didn't stop directly in front of me, and so I moved him out the way. And that's what happened. I didn't threaten him. I didn't say anything to him about that whole situation. I told Ms. McDonald. They didn't try to calm me down. I wasn't irate at the point, okay? We had two sessions. The second session, the only thing I spoke, which was supposed to be in confidence, how I felt about the program. And that was used in violating.
All right, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to move, we'll move to the next phase here, Harry, and you'll be able to explain this in more detail as much as you want. But for now, based on testimony from the Department of Corrections and information in warrant number 2017W3210, I move to find that Mr. Johnson was delinquent and violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Three.
Thank you. Just hold on 1 second, Mr. Johnson. Okay. Now, let's move to phase two of your hearing, Mr. Johnson, and determine whether your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move too far on, please stand by. We'll have Mr. Oliveri give us just some background information, additional information about you and your supervision, and we'll be right back with you in a moment. Please hold on. Mr. Oliveri?
Offender Johnson was released from the Department of Corrections on July 27th of 2017. He was arrested in office on September 15th of 2017, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on January 31st of 2018. Current convictions, 2011, dangerous drug violation, 3 years, 6 months. And in 2014, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year, 9 months. Prior convictions, 1991, forgery, 4 years. 1990, aggravated assault, 4 years. 91, theft, 7 years, 6 months. 2000, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. and also in 2000, forgery, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has 3 terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 2-2, mental health score is a 3, and his substance abuse score is a 2. There was no STG gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1996, temporary release, completion, 7 months. And in 2002, TIS release, completion, 7 months. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history with violence and weapons noted. Other arrest, 1989, theft of a vehicle, Arizona juvenile detention. And then also in 1989, burglary, 2nd degree, Arizona juvenile detention. His community risk level is a G5-V6.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. Back to you, Mr. Johnson. We have a case supervision summary, just kind of information about your supervision history. It looks like when you first got released, you were a little hesitant about participating in parole and complying with conditions, but you talked with your PO and were advised that you wanted that you needed to participate in mental health treatment. You said that you refused to participate in mental health treatment and you'd rather do your time in prison. But you changed your mind then, rather than go back to prison, you said, okay, I'll do parole. And you signed your conditions. So you started out a little bit hesitant to be on community supervision. But you were placed at Vivre at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix. Mr. Johnson, did you remain at Vivre your entire time on YROC supervision?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Were you working at all?
No.
While you were on supervision, no?
No, ma'am.
What do you do for a living? What kind of work do you do?
I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none.
Okay, well, you must be good at something, so. Okay, so you're just kind of do odd jobs, handyman. All right, it looks like you had a good history as far as your drug screening, because you had negative results in July, 2 in July, 2 in August, 3 in August, 2 in September. So it looks like you were doing well on that. Do you have any sort of drug problem? I don't see anything here, but...
No, ma'am.
No drug problem?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And it looks like you, because of this incident in the warrant, it looks like you were discharged from Vivre. I'm reading quite a bit here. Looks like that you had agreed to comply with some mental health treatment and trying to get some employment set up. So, Mr. Johnson, if this board decided to place you back on community supervision, what would be your thoughts on that? I'm not saying the board will, but if we did.
First, I would like to say I was sentenced to 3 years. And 1.5 years concurrent with 178-day back time. I don't know what happened between it being electronically sent to the Department of Corrections, but the Department of Corrections has me that I was sentenced to 3.5 years and 1.75 years, which is incorrect, which I'm in court right now trying to change.
Okay, good. Mr. Johnson, you need to address those changes. You probably are through the Department of Corrections, right?
So I'm doing that through the court system since it started there. Secondly, I don't know what happened where the the mental health case that I had was closed before I even came to prison. So I didn't know why that was even an issue. And because of that, I was doing prison, I had to see a psychiatrist the whole bit, every month. And my mental health score, as it is right now, is a 3.
Correct.
Which started off as a 2. And it's not like I've done anything or received any tickets or done anything to myself or anyone else for it to get bumped to a 3. When I was to be released on July 27th of this year, I did not want to be released because I'm in court, I'm fighting my case, and the officers bodily threatened me and said if I didn't get in the van, they were going to physically put me in the van, and that I had to go to 16th and Grant to the parole office, that they had to violate me, and then I'd come back. So I didn't have an option. And then once I got there, they decided they wanted to push a mental health issue where that brought me all the way up from a minimum supervision to maximum when I've never at any time in 96 or 2002 have been a maximum supervision. I've completed both times with no problems, no dirties. Now I'm being handled different as if I'm a problem, and I've never been a problem. So the issue, I spoke to the PO. He said it was okay, but the issue with me was because they wanted me to do this mental health thing, they access switched me to Mercy Advantage Plan, which I can only get services through one venue, which was Magellan.
So, Mr. Johnson, excuse me for interrupting, have you at some point been diagnosed as SMI or designated SMI?
Yes, but that case was closed before I even got my charge or came to prison.
And do you take meds right now?
No, I do not.
You do not take meds?
Do not. I have not the whole time. But the parole office put those rules and conditions on me, so I had to speak to, first I had to go to Access. And I had to be certified. The SMI part, just so I can get off the Mercy Advantage Care Plan, which restricted my services. Okay. Then the PO kind of said with me, he said, hey, you volunteered for this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. This was in my conditions. I signed them, but I can't do what I need to do on Mercy Advantage Care Plan. It restricts everything to one venue.
So Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but so it seems like, just based on what I'm reading here and what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like the department or somebody thinks that you're SMI and you need mental health treatment, but you're maintaining that you do not need mental health treatment and you don't take any meds, and you're disputing that. Is that?
That's correct. And so the PO, he said, fine. It's okay for, I'm not going to make you go through the mental health services, but if you get in trouble, then I'm going to make you go through mental health services. So I was fine before the issue with Bobby Washington became an issue. I didn't say anything to him. I brought it up to my therapist, so I didn't even
understood.
Bring it up to him.
Understood. Mr. Johnson, what does it mean? There's a little kind of a quote here in this on this warrant that says, that you had stated that offender Washman got in your way in the hallway and that you, quote, moved him out of the way. What did that mean? Describe what happened there.
Okay. I came out of Allison McDonald's office, okay? Bobby Washman was behind me at that point, standing on the street. So while I'm in motion, walking down to the next floor, at the office I need to go to, which is four offices down, Bobby Washman runs from the back. And once he runs from the back, once he gets in front of me, he stops dead in front of me, forcing me to bodily contact with him. And this is right after I have already reported the previous issue dealing with him. Instead of bodily contact with him because he stopped dead in front of me, I took my hand, I moved him out of the way.
And how did you do that? Did you grab him?
No, I didn't grab him. I just moved him away.
But how do you move somebody without touching him?
I didn't say, okay, I had to touch him to move him out of the way, but I didn't touch him in a threatening manner. I moved him out of the way so I wouldn't run into him because he got right in front of me for him to make bodily contact with him.
Okay.
And that was on purpose.
Mr. Johnson, I'm going to ask our community corrections officer, Mr. Oliveri, if there are any revealing notes in the chrono about this incident.
No, everything is in the warrant.
Everything is okay. All right, thank you so much. All right, and I'm going to also ask my fellow board members. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, I see that in the report, incident report coming from Vibre, it says that the director, Allison McDonald, joined in and tried to calm you down and get you to commit to no violence. How are you unable to make the promise stating you'd rather go back to prison? Did you?
First, in explaining that, the Vibre uses something called an RCBM program, in which you go to classes, and two, you have a therapist. Okay? In a therapy session, I explain my issues of being forced to come out of prison when I didn't want to because I was dealing with my case. Two, that therapy session had nothing to do with trying to calm me down. I wasn't irate when I went and I reported the pre-issue. Okay, I'm in a situation where, excuse this term, I'm damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I have all of my legal case there. I can't afford to screw up because if I do, I lose it all.
So, sir,
here I am right now.
So, Mr. Johnson,
that's exactly what happened.
Mr. Johnson,
I lost it all.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
What I'm trying to determine is if you told the director, Mr. Allison, when this incident occurred, when they tried to get you to calm down and commit to not committing any violence, that you told them that you couldn't commit to any violence, and you'd rather go back to prison.
That's not true, sir. I would never do that at any time.
Okay.
I had too much to lose. I had 5 miles of the information revolver that I could not lose. So no, I did not. And no, there wasn't a situation where they had to calm me down. Okay? I'm the one who waited for an hour and a half to speak to her.
So
and when I wouldn't speak to her, I wasn't angry.
So this
was the thing where I had to commit to
Mr. Johnson,
not
Mr. Johnson,
to Bobby because I wasn't going to do any violence to Bobby.
Mr.
I just wanted them to remove Bobby because this was what Bobby was doing to me.
Okay. So Mr. Johnson, this didn't happen in a session. This happened apparently it appears like in the hallway, right when this incident occurred, they were trying to calm you down. And they tried to get you to not commit any...
So like I said, there were two sessions, Mr. Johnson. One, me reporting Bobby Joshua. Two, coming out of Ms. Allison McDonald's office to go get my phone, which I did not have on me.
Right.
As soon as I come out of there, the incident happened with Bobby.
So when that incident...
I had just got finished reporting the issue, Bobby went to create another issue, and then there was a second therapy session with Ms. Jackie and Allison, okay? Number one, there was nothing where I was going to do anything to Bobby. I didn't, otherwise I wouldn't report it. I reported it so they could handle it. So no one needed for me to commit not to do anything to Bobby. I just wanted Bobby to be removed from around me because this is what he was doing to me, not once, not twice. This was the third time. Yes, sir.
No, okay.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
We've talked about a lot of things during this hearing that are unrelated to the threatening activities, which is in the allegation. So I just have one question. I want to be very delicate about this because it's not meant with disrespect, but this individual that DOC is alleging the violation, was he a threat to you? Was he bigger than you? Was he someone that could overpower you?
No. And yes, he was bigger than me, but overpower me, no.
That's apparent, and I'm trying to be delicate about this because I'm not trying to call you out in any way. All I'm saying is I'm a little perplexed as to why this individual would be trying to do this with and not get in a fight. It would seem that if someone was doing that, there's a high probability that you probably would get in a fight. So I'm just trying to understand the dynamics between you and the other individual.
Okay. The issue started way before then. Just the week prior to that, Mr. Washington came out butt naked in the parking lot and sit there. That the issues had started way before he had did this. Vivre allowed him to stay at that point, okay? Now, I wasn't the only person that Bobby had targeted. I was the only person that spoke about it.
Thank you, sir. I think you answered the question. I don't want to drag this out. And I'm certainly not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to figure out what happened. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from members of the board now?
No.
All right. Mr. Johnson, we're coming to the conclusion of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, anything that the board should know, but please don't repeat things that you've already told us. Is there anything else?
I feel that I shouldn't be violated because I feel that I got punished for reporting a PREA issue, which we've been trained or instructed to report when this issue gets occurred. And then everything else ran into play. An SMI, where there is no SMI, a mental health score of a 3 when I don't even show any mental health problems. I've never been a problem ever when I was released. In fact, I've completed twice without any problems. And I would have this time if it wasn't for this very issue. And I just feel as if I got punished for reporting a pre-issue, and then it turns into something that it's not supposed to be.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. The board is going to go enter discussion and make a determination in your case. And it'll sound like the board's talking to you, but it's the board talking among itself. We don't discuss these cases before we come into this room. So this is our first opportunity to talk about this. So if you just please stay on the line, remain silent, you can listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you shortly. Okay, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thanks. This is every day presents interesting cases. Mr. Johnson is someone who has successfully completed two terms of community supervision in the past, 7 months each time, in 96 and in 02, who for some reason has been designated SMI by the department or by someone prior to this, but he vigorously denies that and says that he does not take meds and he does not need mental health treatment. He feels in this situation that he is being punished with his revocation merely for reporting a PREA complaint. He has not found employment while he was out in the relatively short time he's been out, a couple of months. He has a fairly lengthy criminal history. Behavior while in prison, although there is violence and a weapons issue in some of his discipline. I am interested to hear what my fellow board members have to say about this case. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, I'll be careful. My concern is this. Not knowing, not having been there, not knowing what's in the heart of Mr. Johnson, is that it would seem, based on notes, that there was an attempt to de-escalate a situation, and I'm not going to be defensive of anyone who possibly made some sort of a wanted advance on Mr. Johnson. If someone did that, that's unacceptable. But it seems that there was some sort of attempt to de-escalate and the confrontation happened anyways. So that's my concern. I'm not saying that that's my last position. I'm just saying that's my concern.
Okay. Mr. Johnson.
I have something similar to it, too. I'm just concerned that more than SMI, I think he needs some anger management. It's apparent that when he first got released, he was still shackles, and he was refusing to participate in the SMI program, where they did issue an emergency warrant, and then he decided to change his mind and they revoked it. But he got into this incident there, said that he'd rather go back to prison. So that's the second time he's made that statement when he's been in an altercation, that he'd rather go back to prison. He said that before he participated in the SMI, and he was at the office, and he did it here now. And I'm sure he's offended by this gentleman touching, but I don't know what he's describing as touching him in a way that offended him, if he just touched him on the shoulder or arm or something. But he never did say or indicate that he was touched in a sexual way, just that he didn't like being touched.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other comments?
Well, I think, Madam Chair, I think it's a little confusing. I think that Mr. Johnson himself is confused the issue just a little bit. I'm not one to say whether he was SMI or not. That's left up to the experts, but I think that because of the confusion, I think just as he stated certain things today that was confusing, I think there were certain things at VRA that was confusing, and I think that's one reason we find where we are. But I guess the question is, did he violate the terms and conditions of his supervision? My answer is going to be yes. He did.
I agree with you, Dr. Wright. Based on this discussion, I'm going to make a motion, and that is I move to revoke community supervision based on Mr. Johnson's own admission that whether or not he did it in a threatening manner, he did touch Mr. Washman to move him out of the way. You can't move somebody out of the way without touching them. So that did happen. And staff overheard the scuffle, according to this warrant. I'll acknowledge he did have some successful completions in the past, but I also agree with Mr. Johnson. He is controlling his anger today, but I feel there's anger. So based on his indeterminate mental health needs, the fact that he did touch someone to move them out of the way that resulted in a warrant, I move to revoke Mr. Johnson's community supervision based on that.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Mr. Johnson, you probably heard that the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You'll be released from the department on January 31st of 2018. I believe you yourself mentioned that you have some court action underway and that you might be able to focus your efforts on that during these next few months and get that resolved while you're there. And you don't have to deal with anything on the in a halfway house or any of this. And when you get released in January, you won't have any supervision whatsoever. You'll be free to do whatever you want. We wish you the very best. Thank you for participating in your hearing today. And this hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. If you could please give the phone back to your CO3.